with those two eulogies, so I threw out, I left my book over there. Some of you know that I come here quite often for funerals, and I see this, but I see it from behind, and you know, I have to say it again, do unto me kindness and truth. This is Mom. She wanted it for her, but she more importantly wanted us to do it to other people, and she exemplified that. I'd like to also thank the rabbis, Rabbi Benzikam, Rabbi Hassan, and Rabbi Farkash. Very much appreciate you being here today. And also acknowledge Rabbi Sin Nahama Farkash. Thank you for coming today. I'm winging it now because I threw out my book. But I have a couple words here. The first one is Bremerton. Mom was born in Bremerton. Her mother, Rochelle Chiprit Ammon, was kind of the matriarch of the family. And her father was Sam Ammon, which I often love to think that his first initials, S, and his last name, Ammon, kind of worked well with me. Salmon? Anyway. Mom was a unique person. She really marched to the beat of her own drum. I think at times she probably upset some people because she didn't always fit that mold. She just was who she was. She was Dodie. She was Dorothika. And a very strong, strong woman. And she was generous. And again, she marched to the beat of her own drum, to say the least. And I often see that. I saw that in my maternal grandmother. And I actually see it all going all the way back into the Torah to Sarah, whereas Sarah had the, I don't know what word I'd use, but she had it to tell her husband, Avram, take that woman away and take that son away. And, you know, when I was a young kid and I first heard that, I thought, wow, how could anybody say that to somebody? But if we understand life a little bit or God's will, it comes to us later on. And obviously in the Torah, did the same thing too. Memories. My first memory of Mom was probably when Candy was born. I know I was born to Sam and Dodie Calvo because I have a picture at home of me and my bris on a pillow. And on one side was my paternal grandmother, Kadun Calvo. And on the other side was my Auntie Virginia Ben Susan's mother, Callow Ben Susan. So definitely I was born to Mom and Dad. But when I was about 5, Candy was 2, and I think I said to Mom, Mom, where did Candy come from? And Mom, and she consistently held a story for a long, long time. Mom says that she traded a bag of beans to the local Indians, and that's how Candy came. And to expound on the Indians, as later in life, as Candy and I realized that Mom could see everything we did. And we asked her one day, how can you do this? And she says, because I have eyes in the back of my head. And we said, well, why would you have eyes in the back of your head? And she says, because I'm part Indian. And we would go, well, what part Indian are you? And she'd take her fingers and she'd go, this much. And then she would tell us, well, what kind of Indian are you? And I'm confused. Either she says Nez Perce or she said Nose Perce. But anyway, that was Mom. So when I was about 11 years old, Vicky was born. And I says, Mom, where did Vicky come from? And Mom says she came from a stork. And I said, well, what's a stork? And she said, well, it's a big bird. So, okay, that's where babies come from. So that was, Vicky was born in January, and about 6 months later, it was summertime. And where we lived on 57th, there was a little road on the bottom of Holly Street, and we called it Rocky Road. We used to go swimming there. So one day I was off fishing with my friend Michael Mendelson and his father Art. We were down at Seward Park in the rafts. And I come home and Mom says to me, John, go downstairs. I want you to see something. okay. So I went downstairs, and what do I see? Well, in the wash tub next to the washer and dryer was this dead, really big bird. And its neck and its beak and everything was hanging over. Wow. So I go upstairs and I says, Mom, is there another baby here? No, she says, what happened was I was swimming with Candy, and a goose attacked Candy. So Mom took Candy home the two blocks to our sewer park house, got Dad's shotgun, and drove the car down to Rocky Road from the bottom of Holly Street and shot that Canadian honker. So later that day, our matriarch, Rochelle Amon from Bremerton, my grandma, came over and she plucked the feathers out. She dissected the bird, which turned out not to be a stork, obviously. She put it in salt water, which she kosherized everything, whether it was kosher or not. And we invited the Gomovitz family over, and we had that bird. You know, I need to go back one more. I actually forgot my first memory, so I want to bring that back. My first memory, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, we were on a ferry boat with Rochelle Amon from Bremerton and Dad, and Mom went off on her own. And I can remember just as vividly as if it was today. I told the story to Candy a few times. Dad and I are walking hand in hand, and he sold Candy. And we come up to the side of this ferry that's going 20 knots over to Bremerton. And we see a crowd of people clapping and cheering. And we're going, what the heck is all that about? And when we get closer, we see that Mom, to our surprise, is tightrope walking on the railing of the ferry boat. And she did this little thing down to the side. Everyone's clapping. And she did a pirouette and came back the other way. And everyone's clapping. Well, Dad wasn't smiling. And for me, I looked over the side of the boat, and it was like 30 feet down, this white wake going by, thinking, what would happen if Mom fell in? And how the heck did she do that? That was my first memory. Food. You know, everyone, I go to a lot of funerals here, and everyone talks about all the good food that they make. Mom did just as well. Just a couple weeks ago, I was here for the funeral of Esther Piha, and it was an incredible way to describe all the food she made and how she kept up the freezer. And I think I've heard that story just about with every Sephardic woman, including Mom. And Mom was interesting in food. But there was some food that I have to mention, two foods. One, you think that the devil himself made this creation. She told us, before we ever had a chance to eat it, that it was made or fried in pig's fat, and that if you ate it, it would stay in your stomach for a year. And she's talking about donuts. So I don't know if Candy and I ever ate a donut around Mom. And I can tell you, she never had a kosher Krispy Kreme either. Now, the next one's a kicker for me. One day, I guess I was probably about 12 years old, and Mom makes something, and she dusted it with flour, and she put the spices on it, and she cooked it up. And she says, John, try this. And I go, oh, Mom, this is pretty good. What is it? And Dad says, no, we're not going to talk about that. So another year goes by, and she makes that same thing, and we put it in the oven, and she gives it to me, and I go, yeah, this is really good. And then another year goes by, and Mom is taking the sperm sac from a salmon. It's called milt. It's a sperm sac, and the sperm is fairly solid. And she's cutting it up. And I'm going, what are you doing? She says, well, this is called lechetta. She's making baked salmon sperm. So this time I wasn't laughing. Yeah. Ladino. Mom, when she got back to the summit, her favorite class, and I wish Fazanesis was here, but he knows it, was Ladino. It was discovering this world that she had when she was young. And when mom and dad were young, they spoke Ladino. But they didn't speak it much after a while. But the story was actually put out about 5 years ago. An anthropologist from the University of Michigan came out. Her name was Ruth Behar. Some of you might know that name. She was born in Cuba, and she wanted to come and see the Sephardic cemeteries. So one of my brothers on the Sephardic Brotherhood board, Joe Hadiff, called me up and says, "John, would you take Miss Behar to see the Sephardic cemeteries?" And I go, "Sure." So I go and pick up this very, very attractive woman at one of the hotels, and to her delight, she gets in my car, and she's very excited to hear that my dog is named Raki, which is a Sephardic word in itself. So we go to the cemeteries, and on the way home, she says, "So do you speak much Ladino?" I said, "Well, I know words like Bivas or, you know, Yobasta," or mom always said to me, you know, "I de Bre," or "Estes Joha," you know. So I know some words, but I'll tell you what I know about mom and dad, and it took me a while to figure this out, is that when mom and dad would speak Ladino, they would suddenly go into the bedroom and lock the door. And if we were camping and they spoke Ladino, they would go into the tents and say, "You guys go away and play." So Miss Behar said that obviously Ladino is the language of love. The last thing I want to talk about is Judaism. I've learned in the last couple of years, I can never judge another person's level of Judaism. And mom and I, to be quite honest with you, used to argue and fight and struggle over our differences of what Judaism was. And it was never easy. But about a year ago, when mom moved into the Summit, I finally one day says, "Mom, why do you always argue with me?" And she says, "You know, John, to tell you the truth, I didn't have a Hebrew education. I didn't learn things in Judaism that are deeper, such as life after death and death and just the really deep things that the Torah has taught us. So when you talk, I argue so that you keep on talking and so that I can learn." So we've been doing a lot of learning Torah the last couple of years, especially the last year. And I've been studying with Rabbi Hassan for maybe 2 years now on Thursdays, and with Rabbi Barry Farkash for about 5 or 6 years on Thursday nights. So I read her Tehillim, and I talk things, and she's getting it. And I finally realized that mom knew that time was coming down to the end, and maybe it would be a good idea to understand that some of the stuff John was trying to talk to her was pretty cool. So a couple weeks ago, I'm in this with the Torah portion. And in the Torah portion, Hashem calls, or Moses sees a burning bush that's not being consumed. And Moses walks up the mountain to see this phenomenon of the burning bush. And Hashem says, "Moses, Moses." And Moses says, "Hineni." And Hineni means, "Here I am." And I had the pleasure also a couple days later, after I got a chance to see the Rabbi called me at the Torah at Chabad and purposely had me see that part. I got to read in the Torah where Hineni. So I've been talking to mom about Hineni. And about 2 weeks ago, I walk in the house and I go, "Hey, mom." And she goes, "Hineni." And then the last few days with mom, and especially the last day when she had her eyes closed and was breathing hard, I know my sister probably said, "What's John saying?" I said, "Mom, Hineni." And my wish is that when Hashem calls mom up, she'll say Hineni. Thank you.